Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel at youtube.com/talkover or follow the Talk Over podcast page on Spotify.
Man like DJ Stylus, DJ Double, DJ Envy, Charlamagne, Angela Yee, we are the Breakfast Club. I've been wanting to do that for time, innit?
Good morning, everybody.
They're the only guys that get away with the same intro every show. Good morning, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne, God, Angela Yee, we are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. Good morning. Anyway, guys, I want to talk about tempos today, bro. I want to talk about BPMs, bro. Because I think I said it to you in a random conversation. I got stuck at this tempo one time in a rave. And I was like, this is the lost tempo, bro.
Yes.
It's like it's like it could be an episode of Indiana Jones, mate.
Oh, Indiana,
Indiana
Stylus.
Jones and the lost tempo.
Indiana Stylus and the lost tempo. Bro, when you said that on the phone to me, I was laughing for about 10 minutes straight. Fuck me, the lost tempo.
It's real out here, man. Like, I'm sure every DJ is different, but for me, my lost tempo. The lost. DJs were late, man. Help me out. The lost tempo for me is like...
Hold on, before you go into the range...
Go on.
Fully explain the meaning of the lost tempo.
Okay. Yeah, I should have thought about that, innit? Let me just break it down. I got a bit gassed. I jumped the gun. It was that Breakfast Club intro. The lost tempo, right, is when you're manoeuvring around a set. So say, like, you start at 100 BPM, like, you're rinsing off a couple of hip-hop bangers. Before you know it, like, the BPM starts trailing, you're getting higher and higher. And then before you know it, you're like, yo, I'm lost. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, before you know it, you're at like 110 and you're like, the lost tempo, bro.
Yeah.
Where do I go? You play and you're like, you're gassed. 3-4 songs in, your tempo's risen. You're like 114 and that's it. Like, you may as well be in a field on your own.
Yeah.
With no music.
You are like, out there, bro. You are fully exposed.
So the lost tempo is like when you get to that tempo and you like, you're feeling out, but you don't really know how to maneuver around it. Or... You can maneuver around it. Like, I'm not saying there ain't no rhythms there or, like, you get lost there and that's it, you're stuck. I just feel like it's a tempo range that you can't really flex too much with or... I don't know, man. I just don't really mess with it too tough, innit?
So where is your lost tempo?
My lost tempo is, like, 110 to 116, bro. 110. 110 to, like, 116, 118.
For me, it's even
maybe even a little bit lower.
I've got mine's quite a lot wider.
That's when you get to 118, you can mess with like housey stuff and go into a bit more progressive.
Yeah, so that's if you're in an open format.
Yeah, 100, yeah.
If
I'm,
you're doing a hip hop club, that's more different. So you get up as
but
far
you've
as
got
like
the 120s, which you can break them down to 60, though.
Right, exactly. That's
so
where
all them can mess with.
Yeah, I'm more comfortable from about definitely from 108, 108 BPM.
108 is a good tempo right now.
But like, if you get it from 109 onwards, bruv, that's delving towards the lost tempo for
me. Obida said it then, like, at the minute, 116 is doing a few bits. Mabel's got out some bangers. Like, there's a lot of 108.
Calvin Harrison playing next door, but it's not really... It's just a couple.
I play that song sped up. I speed that song up even more, and it sounds better in the club. Yeah, man, it sounds miles better, bro.
Yeah.
And, like, 108 is, like... one of the popping tempos right now with the afro beat or that afro swing kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the minute you move away from that, I get to 108, 110 and I'm like, nah, I'm not looking to get lost tonight. So, I've not got my compass in it, so I'm coming back down, bro.
Yeah, I do the same, and I transition from that area to either, actually not so much at the moment, because there's a couple of like 55 BPM bangers, but
there's
it's been
couple.
No, it's been a couple years.
You know,
since
for a fat bear, man,
fresh.
Are gonna be in the comments flinging all these BPM songs at us now.
Yeah, like, I know.
Yeah,
but
you can play it.
Off
this
the top of my head, yeah. So if like 2 years ago, right, I'm probably going from 110, and I'm gonna start flexing on like Krypton Conan, Don't Waste My Time, or Drake. What's the worst behavior?
Yeah, worst is
I had
now
to sing in my head. Do you know what I mean? They're the ones where you can half the lost tempo and start fresh again and climb. You can climb, start climbing back up because it's fine. But yeah, that lost
obviously
tempo.
You've got transitions now, so you can maneuver around. But even you don't get many transitions that maneuver up to 116 or go down from it or in that range. Like, that's how lost it is. Man don't even want to make a
transition
to get you out. No, they don't, the transition man, Satoru, yeah? If you're listening, bro, or you're watching,
Satoru,
beg
yes.
you make some lost tempo transitions up, to save us in them awkward situations.
Yeah, big up DJ City on them transitions.
Big up
man.
DJ City all day, man. See, now, back in the day, don't want to sound like an old man again. Transitions, man, never got transitions back then. Like, you had to be proper clever and calculated how you maneuvered around BPMs.
Yeah.
Like, obviously on a technic, you only got +8 and -8, like, on the. On the tempo range?
With the with the mixers having less features as well, because now you can do echoes and loops and you can scatter out of a tune and drop in from fresh from a new one with a new tempo. But yeah, back then when the mixers...
I'm trying to think back, I can't even remember how I used to go by it. Like you would normally pick one or two tempos before you went and roll with your set that way. Like I would like pick out between like 80 and 100 and maneuver there. Or
for me, to be honest, before Serato... BPM didn't play a part in my life. Like I just knew what songs mixed together. But I also knew that having the turntable up on +10, the song sounds silly. So you keep it around +4, +5.
What's it called?
What's the button on the CDJ where you push it and the voice stays the same?
Oh, it puts it in key.
Yeah, it keeps it in key. What's the button called? Anyway, it keeps it in key. That's the main point. Yeah. You can push those. You can push those buttons now. Even Serato has one, and you can flex it 20% faster, and everything still stays the same. Mm-hmm. Take that button off, and you're listening to Chipmunks. With vinyl, of course, you're listening to Chipmunks if you speed it up too much. So there was that range. I knew what went together, but I don't think I ever considered BPM because I had no way of counting it, and I don't. The Lethal Weapons, now we're getting into some relics now. Do you remember those intro versions of Lethal Weapons?
They used to write
BPMs.
They
had the BPM
on
there.
Yeah, they did.
But the singles didn't. Or the promos you get sent out by the record labels never did.
That's true.
So I think I just knew. But I don't know how I would go from like 103 BPM and then start playing 70 BPM. I don't know how I'd do that now. Back then, I mean. The lost tempo.
For me, the lost tempo thing is a conversation that obviously every DJ has a favorite BPM or a BPM that they don't like messing with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you had them summers where 100 BPM is my favorite BPM. I don't know why.
Ever or just for now?
No, in general, man. A lot of my sets maneuver around between like 95 to 105 in between. Like,
I think generally I'm the same. And you know what? That must be... Because I mean, obviously, DJs are going to be different. But I was going to say it must be the genre. It's the genre because the tempo in our genre that keeps the girls on the dance floor and really keeps the energy.
Yep,
is that
because even when you go down to 70, it breaks down. It's slower, but obviously you got trap. It's heavier beats. But 100 BPM for me, that is like the perfect BPM in my opinion.
Anything above 115 in R&B. It's just going to be commercial. Mm-hmm. Like proper, I'm just trying to thinking of like Drake, Too Good. It's a commercial record. I'm just thinking literally off the top of my head.
Drake, Too Good was...
A very commercial record. That was like 118, I think.
Yeah, but back in the day though, we used to get a couple of bangers at one thing. Like, I remember Missy Elliott used to do a lot of up-tempo BPM stuff that was hard. Like I remember, I'm Really Hot.
Yeah.
115.
Rhythm.
Banger, but she also had Missy did a lot over 110, to be fair to her. That was popping.
Bitch.
And that's like...
Yeah, no, I'm not calling her a bitch. I'm just saying, bitch was a good tune. did you hear Lady Leisha's Black Panther freestyle?
Murdered it, bro.
Whoop! She might be bringing
it.
Murdered it. Leisha might be bringing me into the lost tempo with that. 111.
Yeah.
It's 111 BPM.
The lost tempo, bro.
She's just... Lady Leisha, you've just extended.
Don't get me wrong, you've right? People are probably going to watch this and be like, Stardust is gassed. What's he talking about? That's not a lost tempo. But like, this is just my personal opinion. Like, when I move up to that tempo, man, I'm like...
It's one of them strange situations where...
Feeling it out. Like,
because of the tempo of it, it's the energy. You're building up. So you're going from 100.
The energy's
then you're through
tempo.
105. Then you're into the 108s. Then you get past 110. And that's where, like, there's a tempo in the room, do you know what I mean? It's got energy. But then when you get to that 116, if you're playing just an R&B club or a hip-hop club, and if it's a house club or if it's one of these open format commercial clubs, it's easy. Because from that, that's when you transition into the house stuff, and you can go from there, and then you're sailing. Once you've done your house, you can cut it to like the 65 BPM. You can mix Bodak Yellow goes into a house. You can, so you can flex across the genres like that. If it's just a hip hop club, that's where the Lost Tempo definitely comes in. Because when, and once you get to there, so if I was to even get to 115, two, three songs, and now I'm going to have to stop the music.
Say a couple
and
things.
Say something
that's
on
the
mic.
Like you're a host. Mm. So like you've got that like an easy escape, if you like.
Yeah.
Like you ain't getting lost because you can just call for help.
No, but still, no. But there is, trust me, even when you host, there is a Lost Tempo. There is definitely a Lost Tempo.
Some people say that might not use a mic, and then
yeah,
there's no easy way out. Do you know what I mean? So then how do you maneuver away from it?
But you know, even with that said, I've seen some DJs play. They don't confine their sets to BPMs.
Okay.
Sometimes they literally, they don't mix. They will just, and this isn't a criticism, just this is an songs. Observation.
Select,
they might have a song at 86 BPM, that's a banger, Plain Jane, boom, bang that one in. As soon as that one's done, let's drop down, throw KMT in. As soon as KMT's done, let's jump up to 70 BPM and throw this in, like Lookalike, do you know what I mean? And they literally, they will just drop in.
I think there is a lot of that of the now. Tune. There is a lot of jumping around with tempos in clubs.
To me, like I've seen a couple of people do it and it works. Big up Scandalous, actually. He does that.
Depending what's on the floor, like sometimes you can bounce around and maneuver around it.
I'm a bit too... I don't know if I think I
not
think,
snappy like that though. Like, I'm a bit going to jump to a tempo. No, you got to stay there for a little bit.
But the way Scandalous does it, for example, it works.
Okay.
And that's how, like, when last time I saw him play, he did it. And you know when you're thinking, you're watching another DJ, and that's not the way I would do it, but I learned from it because it worked. And so now suddenly he's taught me something about my sets that I don't have to stay within. I don't have to figure, right, I'm in 100. I want to get down to 70. How can I do it through songs and make it make sense? That's the way my brain works. Okay. I'm at 100 and I want to get to this song. I can't just go from this song to 70 unless I'm speaking. Yeah. Then I can cut the music, speak and do it.
You could be creative but, with it, man. Like,
yeah, well, that's the thing. And now I think of, right.
Especially with the controllers today. I'm joking, guys. Come on.
This is going to become a thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
this
is
going
to become a thing. It is. I'm sorry, man.
But yeah, I have to think of a path of how to get from 100. This is just how my weird brain works. And I try and plan my way down to that BPM. Whereas like what I've seen, what Scandalous showed me was actually, no, you know what? If that's a banger and this is a banger, just play it. Generally, the general public isn't going to turn around and be like, wait a minute, you didn't mix those two. I want them to flow. That's what I want. Man. Whether, do you know what I mean? Like, it's always got a link.
I like the whole set to flow. Like, really, that's why I'm talking about these lost tempos. Because when you get there, like, I like to maneuver around my tempos like quite smooth and seamless. I don't like just jumping around. I might jump between genres a little bit, but tempos will always like move in the right way. And I won't be like 70, 100, down to 80, up to 110, like that. I'll always try and.
Yeah,
be smooth with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Satoru's transitions definitely.
Big up DJ City, man. Like
they definitely
changed the game with the transitions and that, man.
Like, you know what? One of the best ones they've got is the Dave one. No words.
I'm not even sure I got that.
75 up to 100, mate, in one swift movement. But the way he's done that,
the seamless, isn't it?
Smooth, bro. Smooth, man. Like, yeah, it's nice with the transitions and stuff. I was thinking the other day, yeah. You do a lot of mixes and that. When you're in the clubs, do you play other DJs' refixes and stuff?
Yeah,
so
man.
If another DJ makes a mashup, do you play it?
100%. 100%, man. I make a lot of my own, innit? So like, and I do give some out, but then I hold a lot for the reason of it's my, I want my set to sound like, you know what I mean? It's my thing if I give everything away.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to work. But yeah, I play a lot of DJ edits. D James, I rinse his edits. Like I just played with him in Newcastle on Sunday. Like he's a genius with it, bro. I don't know anyone that has more edits than that guy. Like he's a machine, bro.
Yeah.
He's a machine. He wants to come on the podcast as well.
Let's bring him in, man. We can open this topic up even more. See, my thing on it is I do play couple, but I don't have a lot of other people's remixes in my And I'm talking about mashups, not like, I mean, there's a few Kid Cut-Up things that are good for like...
You're talking about prop, like...
I'm talking about like a real, actual, proper mashup. And it's because I do use my own, or I do them live with the acapella and the instrumental in the club. So, but I don't know, in a way, I kind of feel like I'm stealing someone else's work. It feels a little bit like I'm cheating the crowd. Does that make sense,
bro?
To you?
100%, man. And like, I've known DJs over the years that I've give out a lot of the refixes, and then a lot of DJs take them and run with them, and they're out there passing off their sets like that's all their shit.
Yeah.
And these DJs have stopped sending out stuff for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. Like, I get what you're saying. I'm not out here trying to steal everyone's remixes though, and claim them as my own. I've been making my own refixes since. 10 plus years now since started, because you used to get the acapellas and the instrumentals on the vinyls back then, so you could just do them yourself. But I can see, like,
also from the
it falls on both sides, man. Like, if you're out there biting and passing off everyone else's work as your own and you're cheating it, then
I had a couple, and I remember actually probably my most successful one that I ever did was Temper T's Next Hype on BMF.
Okay.
On a BMF instrumental. And I don't know how I did it, right? Because I know how I made it, but I made it and it took me literally 3 minutes to make. I just slid the acapella over the instrumental. They're the same tempo. It worked. I rendered it, started playing it. Then I had a thought, I'm going to email it out to some people. And I started sending it out to a couple of big DJs. And then I remember it was a Saturday night and I was driving with, I had Leanne in the car and her cousin in the car as well. And BMF came on. And after BMF, bruv, my remix came on Radio 1.
Yes. Come on.
And mate, I nearly crashed the car. I was so excited.
You nearly did a temper tea.
And I remember, I pulled over and I remember, like, I was so gassed. This is my production. It wasn't, it's just a refix. You know what I mean? It's not like, it took me 3 minutes to make. So I'm not like, at the time, I was so gassed. And then the mix continued and the song went on. Next song, no mention of me whatsoever. And I got my back up about that a little bit because I thought, right, sending out these, I've just helped someone shell their set and not even got a mention. And it kind of dawned on me. I mean, this is a few years ago, obviously, when BMF and Next Hype. So I mean, it's nearly 10 years ago. I'm talking like, or whatever, 2009, 2010. But I just kind of thought, it's a very thankless job doing edits for people.
It is.
Sending them out and then
you just
other
nailed
people
it,
getting
bro.
Credit.
That's because what the words they said to me. It like pretty much on that. It is a thankless
because
job. Like,
I've heard D James's refixes and they are very good.
Mm.
And like, I don't play them in my set. I might even have a couple of his that I play in my set. I can't recall, but
I've got hundreds.
It's no particular reason. It's just because my set is made up of whatever I've collected so far. Do you know what I mean? But if I was to play his stuff in a set, he doesn't get thanked for that. And I'm not necessarily, he's not even in the club, so I'm not going to be like, yo, shouts to D James for making this for me. Like,
yeah, well,
that doesn't
it,
fit.
Like, how...
Do you know what I mean? Like, unless it's on radio where you can actually say, right, this is a big bad man edit from D James.
Or you put it in the track list into like when it got, like, obviously I did the mix residency for like 2.5 years. So
yeah.
Like, you would give your track listings in, and obviously I used a lot of refixes in that.
Yeah.
Always credited.
Yeah.
Always. So like, these guys will get the mentions on the Radio 1 website, the BBC website, and then they can then go screenshot that, use it for their own stuff, which is dope. But how do you go around, like, you can't just pick up a mic and come like, yo, this is Thingy's remix. I think a way around it is like, spreading it through your socials. So if you're in a club, like, letting off heat that belongs to someone else, show someone.
Take a video, tag them in it.
Don't get me wrong, I've not done it. I've been out and played club, like other refixes in the club and not sent love out on social media because I've just not thought to do it.
It's not about doing it every
time.
Yeah,
not
though,
a spiteful thing, but I can see why some DJs would be like, okay, well, maybe not send them out no more, like not really getting much out of it. It's a thankless job and other people are shining off the back of me kind of thing. So in a way, yeah, I get it, but it's a tough one, isn't it, man? Like, I play a lot of them.
Yeah.
I'll try and tag them in a post on socials, or I'll always make sure the track's up if it's on a guest mix on radio and whatnot.
I like them, and especially in your mixes and that, I think they sound ill.
They sound
good. Do you know what I mean? Like,
create something different, like, and just put a flip on.
Not only that, I like hearing what other people do with the songs. Do you know what I mean? Like, Yeah, I like hearing refixes and mashups and stuff from other people. I don't know. Sometimes I just think I'm surprised. Like, they've got to be a very selfless DJ to be able to give that out to everyone.
100%.
Knowing that as well, the DJ community isn't the most rewarding place to give it out to, because people aren't always shouting out the ones that made it. It's very few people do it. Right, and I just think, yeah, it's I don't know. If I do my edits, I do my mashups, I don't send them out anymore. But with that said, if someone's in the club and they heard me play it and they come over, if it's not something I'm doing live, if it's one I've made previously, if they hear it and they're like, what's this? I always have in the tags, you know, DJ Double Refix. So if they're looking at the screen or whatever, they'll see I've made it. If they're like, oh, can you send it to me, please? Drop me an email address, bro. I'll send it over, of course. I don't mind.
I did try a mail out, man. And I set one up and I was like, I'm going to stick to this. And like, I'm going to send out stuff every week, because I make like refixes every week without fail. So I was like, well, I'll start sending them out. And I did like 2-3 mail outs. And I built up a database of like 1,000 DJs, man. Like, everyone hit up, sent emails, got it all built up. And then I just, after 2 or 3 posts, I just didn't do it. And I don't know why, man. Like, it's a combination of all of them things, I guess, we just mentioned. But if someone wants to holler me and say, like, I'll get inboxes and say, yo, send me a week or something, and then I will like send them out and people come and chase me down for them. But yeah, after 2-3 weeks of trying it, I fell back on it instantly. So yeah, I can see why DJs fall out of love with doing that. Like, unless you're like contributing to, like, I know I look at Bibbs and D James and these guys, like, who are official contributors to DJ City.
Yeah, Mr. So, Bibbs, like, actually, that is one
out
that
there
I've played a
charting.
Few
Man are seeing them dominating top of the charts. Everyone's out there. Everything's tagged up right. Like, them guys are doing it in the right way.
Yeah.
Because they're pushing it out through an official avenue.
Yeah, like, so, I mean, maybe we get them in as a guest and ask them this, but where's the benefit for them other than other DJs know their name? Like, what's the end game?
You're getting known for your techers, aren't you? You're the remix guy. Like, credibility. People knowing that you got the skills and the minerals to make dope remixes, like, there's not much more you can get out of that. Is it really? Besides, like, obviously, them guys are Mr. Bibbs and D James for me are like two of the sickest, like, refixes. Like,
yeah. So. Yeah, Mr. Bibbs is a name. I've met him once before, actually, but I have played his mashups in the club before. There's one or two, I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah.
We ran away with this one, didn't it?
It did run away, brother, from the lost tempo, to the refixes.
We got lost. Literally, we got lost in the cast, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, God.